All right, so listen, it's a really big day, really exciting day for us. This is the beginning of something new for us as a church. But how many of you know that anytime you have the beginning of something new, it usually means that you have the ending of something else? That's just kind of the way that life works. I'm not going to make a blanket statement and say that it's always that way, but usually the beginning of one thing marks the ending of something else. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And I don't know why, I just felt like having a stool this morning. My legs feel strong. I feel ready to rock and roll. But I just wanted to sit. And you know what it is? I shoot straight with you every weekend if you're here. Every weekend, you know that. I don't pull any punches. I'll tell you, I'll say nice things. I'll poke at things that might feel mean sometimes. Like, I'm not afraid to do that. But I think, I feel like I just need to kind of share a little bit about where we're at as a church and some of the things that God is doing and where God's taken us from and where he's leading us to on this whole idea of beginnings and endings. And so here's what I want to do. I just want to share a little bit. If you've only been coming around in the last maybe 2 years, some of this stuff you might not know. If you've been coming around for longer than that, probably most of this you do know to some degree or another. So about 5 years ago, a little bit over 5 years ago, our church, CLF, transitioned from the leadership of Dean Anderson, who had been pastoring this church for almost 30 years by the time he retired, transitioned from his leadership to the Board of Elders. When Dean felt like it was time for him to retire, the Board of Elders asked my wife, Carrie, and I if we would consider stepping into our Board of Elders is our spiritual oversight, our leadership for our church family. They asked if we would consider stepping into that lead role. And so we took time and we prayed and we fasted, had some people that were close by us that prayed and fasted about whether or not this was the move that God had for us and the move that God had for CLF. And at the end of that time, we felt like it's what we were supposed to do, that we were supposed to step into this role. And so our church, we're pushing 40 years now as a church family. We are only the third lead pastor in 40 years, which is not normal, okay? Typically, there's more frequent turnover among churches. So stepping in following somebody like Pastor Dean, who had been there for 30 years in that spot, it's a task. It's a shift for a church, because anytime you're beginning something new, it also means that you're ending something. And so you're shifting gears from one season into another season. And Carrie and I knew that when we took that job and we stepped into the position, we knew that, when Pastor Dean retired, when the elders approached us, when we stepped into the position from all different perspectives, we knew that God was leading us into a new season. I knew that God was leading me and my family into a new season. We knew, the elders knew, that God was leading this church family into a new season. Pastor Dean knew that God was leading him and his family into a new season. All of us knew that we were stepping into something new, that it wasn't, anytime you have a change of leadership, you're going to get a change of leadership. It's going to feel different. It's going to look different. God's giving vision to those leaders and those people he's put in that position for that season of time. And it's never going to be exactly the same. That's just the way that life works, right? I mean, I know you're like, yeah, okay, tell me something I don't know, right? This is pretty typical. It's pretty standard stuff. So Carrie and I lead together, and we always have. We've been married for 17 plus years. And ever since we were 21 and youth pastoring and running a discipleship program for Native Americans. We were living in a camper on the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico. Didn't have a clue what in the world we were doing, but we served in ministry together. That's just how we were wired. And there's a lot of stuff about Carrie and I that, like, if you spend time around us, hopefully you can, like, hopefully you walk away from spending time with us feeling like, I think they like each other. Like, I would hope that would be something that you sense walking away from time with us. And it's, if you do, it's because we actually do like each other. We actually enjoy each other's company. There's a lot about us that we're very similar. Like, we look like brother and sister. We've gotten a lot of mileage out of that joke for years and years. People are like, your kids, it's crazy. They look like both of you. And I'm like, have you looked at both of us? Like, we look the same, exactly the same. I look like her brothers, basically. So, for instance, she was looking for, like, she wasn't looking to get married, but when she was praying and asking God, is marriage something you want for me? And she started kind of making lists of the kind of person she thought she would probably end up marrying if that's, whatever. It's smart to think about that kind of thing. And she wrote on her list, I don't have the exact verbiage, but she wrote on her list, he would probably be somebody who's not overly obsessed with cleanliness. I'm your guy, okay? Especially the time we met, like I was, you know, a punk 19-year-old kid, literally listening to punk rock music and going to punk rock shows and skateboarding and was, you could check that box. Now overly obsessed with cleanliness, right? But there's a lot about us that's very different too. In the way that we're wired to do ministry specifically, we're wired very differently. And we've talked about this for us as a church family. I'm going someplace with all of this, okay? I'm not just strolling down memory lane, all right? We'll circle it around. There'll be a point, okay? We've explained this to CLF as a church family. So the way that we work, here's how the church in Western culture in America works. We call anybody that's in leadership a pastor. We just say, yeah, if they're in leadership over a movement of disciples, they're a pastor. And we kind of use that as like a blanket term. But that's not really how Scripture talks about leadership of the movement of the body of Christ, leadership of the church. We're actually told in Ephesians that God gives multiple gifts to steward the movement of believers well. We're told that God calls some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors, or that can also be shepherds, and some to be teachers. And so God actually wires people differently to lead within the body of Christ. And we've kind of just made it all like across the board. We just call it pastors. People serve in different roles, but the title that they use is pastor. And so Carrie and I go by, you know, we're lead pastors together, but we are not both pastors in those giftings, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors or shepherds, and teachers. Carrie is actually wired more as an apostle. So an apostle is somebody who is always looking out ahead. An apostle is somebody who is always looking for where can the kingdom of God take ground next. We're not content. An apostle is not content with what is. An apostle wants to see more happen, wants to see more people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. It's why the Apostle Paul, who wrote, you know, more than half of the New Testament, he wrote in Romans, he said, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where nobody's ever heard it before. So I'm not building on some other foundation, but so that people who've never heard will hear for the first time. So people whose lives need Jesus desperately, they'll hear about it. That's the apostle's heart. It's always pressing out towards what is not yet. They're very visionary people. I am wired as more of a traditional pastor or a shepherd. I'm wired to, so who's following Jesus? How can we make sure that they're growing? And part of that growing is that we're going as followers of Jesus. You know, you don't get to pick and choose. We're all called. So we're wired in different ways. And there's like, that causes sparks to fly sometimes for us in marriage and in ministry, because those lines are kind of blurred for us, marriage and ministry, because we do both of those things together. And because we think differently about a lot of different things. But if you notice in all of it, that verse that says that God gives some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, the reason why is because the purpose of it, God gives those gifts to the body of Christ to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And we say this all the time around here, but you are not sitting in the seat that you're in right now to support Carrie and I and the staff in the ministry that we feel called to. It's the opposite of that. You're not here for us. We are sitting in this spot here to equip you to do the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Because if you follow Jesus, then you are on mission with God. If you are a disciple of Jesus, it means you are called to make disciples for Jesus. Every single one of us has a ministry calling on our life. Every single one of us in this room. And our role in leadership in the church is to equip you to do what God is calling you to do effectively. That's what we're called to do. And sometimes that fleshes itself out corporately, things that we do as a church body. Sometimes it's equipping you to do what God is calling you to do in your sphere of influence, in your relational circles of influence that you have in your life, the people that you rub shoulders with. But in all of it, that's what we're called to. And so God gifts different people differently, and those gifts look at life in a different way. And so there's this tension. So for Carrie, it's this apostolic, pushing out, visionary, where is ground that we have not taken that God is calling us to take? And for me, as a shepherd, it's more, what is the ground God has already taken? And how can we steward that well? And how can we cultivate it well, right? And so those are kind of at odds. That tension between those two things is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because that is where we find ourselves as a church. This tension between what has already been and what is going to become. That's where we're at. So Carrie and I, right off the bat, when we stepped into this leadership position, very early on, we realized, like, when you have a church that has almost like 40 years, like I said, almost 40 years. So at this time, it was about 35 years at the time, the beginning of the transition. And again, if you've only been coming around for a little while, you don't probably know anything about this. You don't know who Dean Anderson is. If you've been coming here for more than 2 years, you know who Dean Anderson is because he probably had a great impact on your life, right? So we knew that stepping in, a church with a storied history like we have, that it was going to take some, God was going to call us to lead into the next season. And the elders asked us to do that. But that was going to take some, I don't want to say delicacy. Is that a word? Delicacy is food that you eat that's good. Is that the same thing? If you want to be delicate with someone, okay, it would take some delicate leading, some diplomacy, okay? So very early on, we came across a scripture, and I've read the whole Bible multiple times before this, so I had obviously read it, but it had never stood out to me, and God really spoke to me and Carrie in the early beginning stage of the transition that we found ourselves in. It's from Ezra chapter 3, and I want to give you just a little bit of background on it, okay? Ezra chapter 3, again, we're going to make a point. We're coming around to all of this, all right? Hang with me. Ezra chapter 3 is really interesting because what has happened is the nation of Israel has been carried off into exile into Babylon. Their cities have been burned to the ground. Jerusalem, their main city, the walls were torn down. The city was razed. The temple, which was their center of worship, had been destroyed as well. Everything was in a complete shambles, and you had a completely defeated people group that was led off into captivity into Babylon. And decades passed. And then after decades had passed, God opened up the door for some of the Israelites, the Hebrew people, to repopulate their homeland where they came from. And so that's where you get the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah came in and led a group of people who rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem so that Jerusalem could be built back up. That's the story of Nehemiah. Ezra was tasked with helping to build the temple, to rebuild the temple. So the center for worship, the spiritual center of that time for the Jewish people so that they could engage in sacrificial worship and do all the things that have been prescribed in the Old Testament. And so what happened was Ezra leads this team of people and they lay the foundation for their sacred temple to be rebuilt. And so they lay the foundation and you can see the shape of the temple. And at that moment, they decided to pause. And they got the whole band together. They got all the religious leaders together. They gathered all the people with the purpose to worship the Lord. They said, we're not going to lay another stone on this foundation until we dedicate it to the Lord, until we worship him for his faithfulness, for his goodness in our lives. And that's where we pick up the story. In Ezra chapter 3, in verse 11, it says that with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Listen to this. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. So you had an older generation that had seen the previous temple, and the previous temple was splendid. People traveled from all over, far and wide, to see this temple that had been built. King David made the preparations for it. King Solomon, his son, is the one that actually built it. People came from all over the place. Now you have the foundation for the new temple because that was completely destroyed. The temple is being rebuilt, but there were people who, some were completely joyful and some were weeping at the prospect of heading into a new season because it was different than the old. And I love that the scripture doesn't say that one is right and one is wrong. It just is what it is. And that the sound of joyfulness and weeping mingled together, and you couldn't even distinguish between the two. So very early on in the transition, Carrie and I came across this scripture and felt very strongly that God was challenging us that as we led through from one season into the next, as we led in the season of transition, that we needed to get comfortable sitting in a tension. Sitting in the tension of celebrating what has been and honoring what has been, while at the same time blazing a trail into the future that God is calling us to as a church. And that if we only do one and not the other, and it doesn't matter which one you do without the other, if we only do one without the other, we're missing God's plan for us. And we've seen that in this season of transition that, you know, that was 5.5 years ago that started. Pastor Dean's been retired for 2.5 years now, almost 2.5 years. You know, listen, we're not a church in transition anymore. That, if you look at the seasons of our church and where we've come from and where we are right now, we are not in a season of transition anymore. That was a season of our church, but we're in the next season of CLF. We are out of a season of transition and moving into who God has called us to be in this season of our lives as a church and in this season of our lives as individuals. That's where we're at. And God has spoken to us like, listen, you cannot forget where you've come from and run headlong into the future. And at the same time, you can't cling to what has been and neglect the future that God is leading us into. And we felt pretty strongly like this morning for us, you know, listen, this is, yeah, it's bricks and mortar. We're getting ready to renovate a space. And honestly, we're super thankful for the worship space that we have. I mean, it is such a blessing that we have this. And it's time to steward this, you know, keep stewarding this well. It's time to update and upgrade some of the things. In first service, we were having issues with our lights, and I was laughing. We couldn't get the stage lights to go on in the front. And so for the first song, it was like darkness over the front of the, you know, and I just chuckled going, it's completely fitting that our lights are malfunctioning on the last morning that we will be dealing with this lighting system, right? It's time for us to do that. But the reality of it is this room is not really what we're talking about. What we're really talking about is in the physical, we're going to be shifting spaces. This space will not look like what it looks like in a few months. It will be different. But what we're really talking about is in the spiritual, what God is doing in us as a movement. And in the spiritual, what God is doing in each of your lives individually, and that results in what God is doing in us collectively as the body of Christ. That there is there's a shifting of gears that has happened. We have moved from one season into the next. God is doing a new thing. And it's a beautiful thing what God is doing. It's a good thing. But we can't move into that new thing and forget where we've come from. And that's incredibly important for us to get. See, too much of the future, and you forget, you have no grounding. You have nothing to anchor yourself to. You have no points to orient yourself. You're moving into a future. If you don't remember where you've come from, and I don't care how old you are, I don't care if you're a teenager in here, listen, there's wisdom as you move into your future. There is wisdom in reflecting on your past. Who has God been to you in the past? What have you learned about his character and his nature? How has he shown his faithfulness to you in the past? Because in the same way that he's done that, as you move into new territory, you can anchor yourselves to those truths about who God is, about his character, and about his nature. But at the same time, too much living in the past, and you can't see when God is doing a new thing. You're driving into the future, but you're not even looking out the windshield. You're just looking in the rearview mirror, and you can't even see where you're going. Too much of the past, and you are not only not expecting God to do a new thing, but you're thinking, why would he need to do a new thing? I don't want him to do a new thing, right? And neither one of those is correct. What's correct is for us to sit in that tension and to understand how God wants to lead us. It's never one and not the other. It's always both for us as followers of Jesus. Let me read you a scripture from Psalm 78, verse 9. It says, the men of Ephraim, that's speaking about Israel. The men of Ephraim, and most people think that this is referring to the time period of the book of Judges, where Israel was up and down, back and forth. They loved God, then they turned their backs on God, then they loved God, then they turned their backs on God. So this is speaking figuratively over all of Israel. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. Okay, so they're armed with bows. They're ready for battle. But the day of battle comes, and they turn around and they walk away. They don't step into what they're supposed to step into, right? I mean, why are you armed with a bow except to fight, right? I mean, if you're a soldier and that's the weapon that you're carrying it to fight. So then the day of battle comes and they don't fight. They turn back instead. They did not keep God's covenant and they refused to live by his law. Listen to the next verse on why. They forgot what he, God, had done, the wonders he had shown them. They were created to step into something that God was calling them to in the future, but they were unable to step into the future that God was calling them to because they had forgotten what God had done in their lives. They'd forgotten where God had taken them from. And every single one of us in this room, if you're following Jesus, you have a story. God has brought you from some place. Like we all were like sheep who had gone astray, and God lovingly pursued us and came after us. We were people who were stuck in a muddy and mucky and miry pit, and we could not get ourselves out of it. And God stooped down from his high position, grabbed a hold of us, pulled us up out of that pit, and set our feet on solid ground and put a new song in our hearts to sing. And the day that that becomes old hat for us, because we're too busy moving into the new thing that God is wanting to do, is the day that everything crumbles underneath us. It can never become old hat what God has done for us. And the only person that that's on to keep that fresh in our hearts and in our minds is me. It's you. It's on us to keep it fresh in our hearts and our minds. Of the faithfulness of who God has proven himself to be in our lives and through our lives and in the lives of those around us, and even reflecting on the lives of generation after generation after generation before us that have served God. It's on us to keep that fresh. So, but it says if you skip forward to verse 57 of Psalm 78, it says that like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. You think about, you know, what is a bow made for? A bow is made to fire arrows. That's it. It's got one purpose. That's it. But because they forgot what God had done, they did not remember the former things. They weren't anchored to those former things. They weren't able to do the thing that they were called to do. They were like a faulty bow. It's made for one thing, but it can't do it. And as human beings, we are made to bring glory and honor to God. That's what God has created us for. But when we forget what he's done in our lives, we're like a faulty bow. We can't step into the purpose that he's called us to. We can't be the men and women, his creation that will bring glory and honor to him. See, when we're anchored to God's faithfulness in the past, God is always moving forward. He's not moving forward forgetting about the past. But we remember the past because it keeps us anchored as we move forward. The past is not just about the past because those were the good old days, right? And so if we fail to remember where God has brought us from, we don't have any orientation, we don't have any anchor points, we have no way to keep our bearings as we move into the unknown that we're stepping into. None of us knows what even the rest of today holds for us. None of us knows what God has in store for us in the rest of today or tomorrow or 2 weeks from now or a month from now. None of us knows that. And so we have to be able to anchor ourselves to who we know God to be so that when we step out into the unknown, we may not know where our foot is going to land, but we can trust the character and the nature of the one who's calling us to take that step into the future, right? That's who God's calling us to be. So we can't be like people who forget where we've come from. But at the same time, if you look on the flip side of that coin, Jesus showed up on the scene. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 43. There's this whole passage that talks about God is saying, I'm doing a new work. Can you not see it? Can you not perceive it? Do you not understand it? It's springing up all around you, but if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it. And if you look at the story of Jesus in What's the next passage here that I had? In Luke chapter 5, it's actually in three of the gospel accounts, but in Luke chapter 5, verse 37 and 38, Jesus is speaking to the religious elite around him. And he's saying that God is doing a new work. Do you not see it? Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand it? It's springing up all around you. Jesus came, and just like what Pastor Matt brought to us during communion, Jesus came and he was the embodiment of God, the image of the invisible God, and it messed with everybody's paradigm. Jesus did not fit what people were expecting. And so they disagreed with what he was saying. They didn't listen to his teaching. They weren't prepared for where God was leading them in the future because they were so stuck on how things had been in the past. And so Jesus is speaking to him and he says, listen, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. And what that means is when people made wine back in the day, they would have literally animal skins, leather, that they would pour wine into. And as it was fermenting, it would expand that leather, right? It would stretch the leather of the wineskin, and it would stretch it till it couldn't stretch anymore. But it would be able to stretch enough to hold that wine. And then when people drank that wine and they were done with it, and you need to make more wine, what he's saying is everybody knew this was common practice. You couldn't take new wine then and pour it into that already stretched wineskin. Because what would happen? It was already stretched to its limit, and now you've got fresh wine in there and it's starting to ferment and it's going to want to stretch some more, but that leather can't stretch anymore and it would burst the old wineskin and it couldn't contain it. And so Jesus was saying, listen, you are trying to stuff the new things that God is doing. You're trying to stuff it into what has been before, what you have experienced before, and you can't do it. Because God is moving into a new season and you have to come with expectancy for what is the fresh move of God in my life? What is the fresh move of God in this church family's life? What is the fresh move of God in this community and in this world? God is interested in taking new ground for his kingdom. And we can't approach it going, well, we've done it this way and so we got to do it that way again. We have to come before God going, God, we thank you for what you've done in the past, but we know that you're not done yet. This is the whole theme of the Beyond Initiative. We're ready to step into this newness that you're calling us into. We have to be able to do both those things at the same time. So my question to you is, if you cling to the past, you know, what ends up happening is very subtly, all of a sudden, all of our God stories where we saw God show up and do miraculous things, they're all 10 years ago. They're all 20 years ago. And there's nothing fresh in our lives that we can point to and go, God is at work right now, right here in this moment. This is what he's done recently. So when's the last time you saw God do the miraculous in your life or in the life of somebody close to you? We're believing that God is calling us. He has called us. We've shifted gears into a new season, but it's on us to not forget the past, because otherwise we have no moorings, we have nothing to orient ourselves off of, but God is calling us into a new season. He's calling us to step into it with great expectation. He wants to do a new work in you. He wants to do a new work through you. And it may or may not look like any of the works that he's done before. And if that feels scary to you, that's okay if that feels scary to you. I just want to encourage you, though, God does want to push you into things. Not like shove you, you know, but like encourage you, nudge you. We'll put it that way, all right? God does want to challenge you to step into things that maybe you've never stepped into before. And the hope that we have is that, again, we may not know where our foot is going to land in the next step, but we know the character of the one who is guiding our steps because we've tasted and seen in the past. And that's why in Scripture, God's always doing a new thing, but he's always calling us to reflect back on the past, on what was. So my question to you this morning is, do you have a tendency towards one or the other? Because, you know, like I said about Carrie and I, like, you know, she's more apostolically gifted, so it's always pushing out into the future, and where is God wanting us to move, and what's the new thing, and that's her, she's visionary. I'm less that way, all right? It doesn't mean she doesn't ever take care of what's already, where the ground of, you know, the kingdom of God is already taken, and it doesn't mean I'm not ever looking out or being visionary, but it's not one or the other, but one is stronger than the other. So are you wired? Do you have more of a tendency towards one of those things? And my challenge would be to you this morning to, as we're going to take some time to reflect here. Because if you are somebody who has a tendency to focus only on the future, and that's all you see is, you know, what's around the corner, you're always looking for the next big thing, even in your relationship with God, even the way that you see God's kingdom expanding, God is calling you to reflect more on who you've seen him be in your life and in the lives of people around you. God's calling you to reflect on the former work that he's done in life. Because otherwise you're in danger of being unrooted and drifting into, you want to go with purpose into the future. That's why you're always thinking towards the future. But we'll end up going way off course and way off kilter if we're not rooted in the things that God has done in our life. We'll be unable to really step into the future that he's calling us to. And on the flip side, you know, if you tend to cling to the past, are you so rooted in the past that you're actually restrained by it? That you're actually limited by it? That when it comes time for God, he's calling you to jump into the next season of life, you can't do it because you are clinging to what was. Are you in danger of being passed by as God does a new thing? Because God is going to do a new thing. Like, we know that, right? But God is not dependent on me to do a new work. God is not dependent on you for his kingdom to advance. He's going to do it. The question is, do we want to be a part of it? And if we're so chained to the past or what's been before, his kingdom is advancing and he's taking new ground and we're just sitting around talking about the good old days. And memories gone by. And God's not interested in either of those. He wants us to hold both of those in tension. So here's what we're going to do. You may have seen on your way up to communion that there's writing on the floor. We're going to be remodeling this space, and this floor is going to be getting leveled, which means this is all going to be covered by concrete in just a few weeks. And as this worship space is right now, it won't be anymore. And this is what I want us to do. We're going to play a little bit of music here in just a moment, and we're going to take time as a church family to reflect. We're going to do both of these things. We're going to celebrate what God has done in our lives. And this is for you individually, but also for us collectively as a church. We're going to reflect on what God has done in our lives, how we can see his fingerprints all over our lives in the past. We're going to thank him for that. And at the same time, we are going to expect even greater things from him. We're going to dream. We're going to pray prayers, write scriptures. We're going to speak out words, believing what God is wanting to do in our lives individually in the future and what God is wanting to do collectively in us as a movement, where God is wanting to take us. And we're going to write those on the floor here so that when it's all covered in, your prayers and the scripture verses that you've written out here, what God has done for you in the past, what this movement has been in the past, and what we're believing for it to be in the future will be underneath our feet every time that we're in this space. And I don't know if you know this or not, probably most of you don't, but every time you walk down to the kids' wing, whether you realize it or not, you are walking over the exact same kinds of prayers. That underneath the carpet on that kid's wing are all kinds of scripture verses and prayers that have been written out for your children and for your families and for your homes, calling on God to transform lives, to raise up a generation of world changers, believing in that season 15 years ago, believing that what God had started was not done, but it was going to continue and it would expand and become even greater. And we want to do the exact same thing. We want to sow into the future of this movement of CLF and believe that God is not done yet. And we will celebrate what he has done in the past, but we will move boldly into the spaces that he's calling us into in our individual lives and in our collective life as a church family. So there's about 75 Sharpies that are up here. There's more than 75 people in here. So here's what I want you to do. You can write on the aisles. You can write on the carpet up here on the platform. Everything's fair game. I know that by saying everything's fair game, somebody's going to take advantage of that and write on something they're not supposed to. carpet's good, write anywhere. If you can't kneel down to write on the carpet, maybe you've got health issues or something like that. And when people start moving, if you want to just raise your hand, and our ushers have some cards, you can take a card, you can write down on the card, and then turn it in to them on your way out the doors this morning. And we will make sure that that gets laid down as we're filling everything in the coming weeks. And so what you wrote down will be a part of this as well. So I want you to just, it may take you a little while to get a marker. Take some time to reflect on God's goodness. Take some time to dream and to ask God what he wants you to pray over the future of this church family and over your own life. All right? Let's take some time. Let's reflect and expect.
Worthy of every breath.
Or if you are new or newish to the church, I want to welcome you to participate in this. Don't feel like, well, I just started coming around here. I've been here for a hot 5 minutes. I don't really have a whole lot to contribute. Listen, we want you to engage to whatever degree God has moved on your life. Share that, celebrate that, believe great things with us for the future of your life and for the future of this church family too.
there's still time to come and write your prayers and scripture down. I'm going to close us out in prayer. God, we just thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love that has been overwhelming. God, we just, we are not worthy, and we know that, but we are grateful that you choose us anyways. We thank you for the restoration you've done in our lives, for the redemption. God, we thank you for the transformation. We thank you that you have pulled us up from a miry pit and set our feet on a firm place to stand. We thank you, God, for how you've set us free. We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done in the past, what you're currently doing now, and what you're about to do in the future. And God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our eyes and our minds to dream with you, God, what you want to do in our lives, how you want to partner with us, God, how we can partner with you to be about your business. God, we thank you that you are a God who sees the broken, sees the lost, and that we are your hands and feet extended to show your love, to show your power, that you would bring healing, that you would bring salvation. Lord, we just surrender the future of this church, this movement, the future of our lives into your hands. I pray in the midst of our timidity or our fear or of uncertainty of the unknown, God, I pray that we can stand in confidence knowing that you are a sovereign God, that you have it all in your hands, that you have created us with a purpose. God, I pray that we would step into that with boldness, not from self-confidence, but from confidence in you and who you are and what you're about to do. And so, God, we look forward to a future that is met with more than we could ever ask or imagine. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.